So now the home screen's not there, it's obviously time to start. So good morning and welcome to our live service this morning. Andy tells me that doing the service live is perhaps easier than recording it. We'll see. What can possibly go wrong? Life this week has continued to be a little different. We're in lockdown two, the sequel, and we can't forget the presidential elections over in the States. I've been weirdly looking at the BBC News on a daily basis, trying to work out whether or not, trying to see whether or not Trump's losing, which obviously he has. But with even all of that life going on, we are here this morning. To offer up our praise and worship. Earlier in the week, I followed a link that Chris gave me actually, and listened to Jared Cooper. I'm sure you've all heard of him. And he was talking about praise and worship being really powerful. We'll do that in a second, but first we'll start by praying together. So, Father God, as we gather together this morning, I pray that you will take our praise and worship and bless it to us. I pray that you will be with us in a very real and obvious way this morning, and that we will know your Holy Spirit amongst us. Amen. Today is Remembrance Sunday, and we will be thinking about that later on. But first, we're going to listen to a song which tells us to surrender everything to God. I hope you enjoyed the song. The words, "I want to know you more," I hope we can make that our prayer this morning. The words surrender and yield have been a bit of a constant for me lately. They just seem to keep popping up. Surrendering to God. Does anybody else find that hard to do? Totally. We know we should, but often we just do our own thing. want to just read you a short story now before we start thinking about the theme of the service today, which is essentially Remembrance Sunday. So I'm going to read a short story to you now, and then we'll go into a PowerPoint. And in that PowerPoint, there'll be there'll be the last post and Big Ben chiming at the end. Hopefully, as you're watching it, you'll understand what I'm trying to say to you. But after the last chime of Big Ben, we'll have 2 minutes silence, and then we'll go to this week's reading. For some reason not known to me, and although my family lived and worked in Mildenhall, I was born in Bournemouth. I was born at the end of the 1800s, my father George being a cobbler and my mother Lydia Couturier managing the home. My name is Louis and I'm the eldest of six children. I have two sisters, Ida and Wynne, and three younger brothers, Harry, Sid and Les. As an aside, I wonder if that's why my mother's middle name is Keturah, Keturah being Abraham's second wife, and Keturah also having six children. School didn't last very long, and I left school to work as a newspaper boy. Life is uncomplicated and generally happy, although there's a lot of talk about war. Still, even if there is one, it won't last long. I'll do my bit, though. I'll fight for king and country. It's official. I've joined up, late teens, and off to the front line in France. They've said we'll be home by Christmas. I'm sure France is normally quite nice, but where I am in the trenches and going over the top tomorrow, it's not quite how I imagined it to be. There is nothing more to add to this story apart from Louis G went over the top and was wounded soon after, dying of these wounds 2 days later. Louis G was my granddad Harry's older brother, my great uncle. He is buried along with hundreds, thousands, possibly even millions of other comrades in northern France. His name also appears on the war memorial, actually still in Mildenhall. According to my mum, granddad, Louis's brother Harry, never really spoke about this that much, possibly due to mum being a child and conversations of this nature may just not be shared with children. My mum did say, however, that she remembers Grandad saying that as Louis went off to war, Gran, Lydia, said, "I shall never see him again." Sort of brings it all home to you, doesn't it? The personal nature of everyone who died in whatever conflict. In a way, I'm proud of great Uncle Louis. Lest we forget, we will remember them.
Right, I'm sorry, Ant, to butt in at this point, but we've got about 5 or 10 minutes until I can start the video, so it starts at 11. I wondered if we should have a prayer time, perhaps for people that have lost their lives in war.
Yeah, well, why don't we do that? Okay. We always knew that the timings were maybe not going to be exact, but let's pray. Let's have this 5 minutes or so of just remembering all of those people who died in both world wars and all of the other conflicts and whatever that we remember people by. So let's pray. Please offer up your prayers and don't be worried about praying.
You got your new jumper on. I said, I'm looking up. Offer it to you if you want. If you want it to borrow.
Father, we remember all of those who have lost their lives serving their countries, Father, and Lord, for those that have left behind, Father, we remember them now. Bring them comfort. Bring them hope, Lord, for the future. We give you thanks, Father, for their courage and their service. Father, help us to remember all that they have given and all that they have done and not to take it lightly. Amen.
Father, just as we remember all those who've lost their lives during the First and Second World Wars and those who've lost their lives in conflict and times of war since, Lord, those who've lost loved ones, and those who've been injured. Father, we ask that where there is pain, you will bring healing. We ask, Lord, where there's oppression, you will bring freedom. Where lives are broken, Lord, you will grant hope. And where there's places of conflict and war, Lord, you will bring peace. And Father, as we honour the past, We thank you that we can put our faith in a future that with of a life and hope in you. Amen.
And Lord, we thank you for those that are still serving with the military now. We thank you particularly for those that have helped in efforts due to the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you for those that have helped as medics, helped build emergency hospitals. We might not be physically at war at the moment, but it does feel like it sometimes. And we thank you for all of those in the military, Army, Air Force, Navy, all of those services that have played a part recently to help keep our country safe and to keep it healthy and keep the NHS running, Lord. Amen.
We thank you, Lord, that you promised that in Isaiah, that one day every warrior's boots used in battle and everything covered in blood would be destined for burning, Lord, and that men would hammer their spears into pruning hooks, Lord. And that's a picture of when Jesus rules and reigns again on the earth, Lord. Father, yeah, we pray for hope for those who are caught up in war zones, Lord, in Africa and countries, Lord, where there's conflict, Lord, in the Yemen, where there's unrest, Lord, that people would seek you and that they would seek reconciliation, Lord, and that you'd make known to them, Lord, the great hope of future, Lord, with Jesus in control. Lord, bring your kingdom in, Lord, in darkness, in Jesus' name.
So thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer. Thank you for this time of open reflection on the personal nature sometimes of the stories that we hear, and just the general remembrance of people who gave up their lives for our freedom today. So we bring this time to a close, Father God. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for participating in that. It's quite a strange circumstance we find ourselves in, but there we go. So, yes, we're now going to continue with the rest of our service, and I'll bring the reading, which this week comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort.
Well, thanks to Ant and to Andy for leading the live part of our Remembrance Day service today, and welcome to you all, wherever you are and however you're listening today. We continue in a short series looking at a few potential barriers to faith, things which make it harder to move from unbelief to belief, or to hold on to the truth revealed in the Bible. The first topic was science. We looked at that last week. Science need not be a barrier to faith. Indeed, it can help inform our worship. If you missed last week's talk, perhaps you'd like to listen to that one after this. This week, I'd like to look at the second potential barrier, suffering. Remembrance Sunday seemed like a good time to think about suffering. War isn't the only cause of suffering, but it has been one of the big causes of suffering through the ages and to this day. The horrors of the First World War brought the modernist era, with its optimism about human nature and the progress of science, to an abrupt end. It also brought to the surface questions about how an all-powerful and loving God could allow such suffering. The Second World War, with the Holocaust, posed the questions again within a generation. In our own time, we might reflect on the suffering around the world due to war, the current pandemic, and natural disasters. You probably also have in mind more personal suffering and losses. We all face suffering. I've known extreme physical pain, suffered bereavement, and grieved for the pain of others. You may have faced far more suffering than I have. As I seek to remove this barrier to faith, we first need to agree that there are two parts to our difficulty. One is emotional and one is intellectual. Suffering hurts. Personal tragedy, the suffering of loved ones, bereavement, pain in our own lives, and the brokenness of the world hurts. When we ask why, we do so as much as a cry of pain as in search for an answer. We all face suffering and loss to differing degrees. In order to hear the intellectual answer, we first need to allow God to comfort us. This can be hard when our pain has led to anger or hopelessness. Sometimes we're determined to hold on to the pain and anger because these are the only things that we have left. Letting them go feels like saying the suffering didn't matter. If we're going to overcome this barrier, we're going to need to be willing to allow God to comfort us. To recognize that being comforted is not minimizing or dismissing the suffering, but simply rediscovering that God does indeed love us and want the best for us in the midst of our suffering. So let's pause here to pray for those who are grieving, angry, or feeling hopeless today. Let's pray. In Psalm 119:50, it says, "My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life." In the midst of our suffering and pain, we come to you and put our hope in a God of love who cares about our pain. That you see, you hear, and you will act. We thank you, Lord, that your instinct is to draw us near and to carry us near to your heart. We admit that we are in pain and we need your comfort. Perhaps many of us have turned to other ways of comfort. We choose to renounce that and turn to you, knowing that your love is what we really need and what will bind up our broken hearts. We pray, come Holy Spirit, minister your grace into the hearts of those that are suffering today. Comfort those who grieve. Give hope to the hopeless and bring healing to those who are in pain. We ask this in Jesus' name, the worker of miracles. Amen. Now let's address some of the intellectual barriers. When we ask why suffering, science would respond, why not? The atheist can only say that the concepts of good and evil have no meaning, so suffering and loss have no meaning. They would argue that life has no meaning and neither does death. We're all just molecules bumping along, and they talk of suffering as meaningless. Yet we instinctively know that suffering and loss are significant. The death of a child matters. The fact that we instinctively want to blame God highlights that we sense the world is not as it should be. Rejecting God doesn't help us to understand suffering. Atheism perhaps has more difficulty explaining the meaning of suffering than Christianity. The Bible reveals God to be all-powerful and loving. This presents an apparent problem in the face of suffering. It's a problem that the Bible has explored from its beginning. It's clear that some suffering is deserved and some is unjust. If we see all suffering as punishment from God, then we'll get seriously misled. I want to offer three responses to bring comfort and as starting points to think through suffering. First, free will. Whilst God is all-powerful, this doesn't mean that he can create a world in which two contradictory things can be possible at the same time. We can either be forced to do good at all times, or we can be free. If we're free, then we will, inevitably, at times, choose wrongly. God created human beings with the capacity to choose. He gave us real choices with real consequences for ourselves and for others, and ultimately for the world. The world was created good, humanity was created good, but given the capacity to choose. Our wrong choices account for a good deal of suffering in the world directly and indirectly. Directly through our own violence or selfishness, for example, and indirectly by rejecting the loving protection of God in our world, we're made vulnerable to the natural disasters which could otherwise have been avoided. Suffering is inevitable outcome in a world of real freedom. When an individual suffers, it need not be the result of their personal failings, but because they live in a world that is broken. In this world, the innocent suffer along with the guilty. We mustn't draw conclusions about our relationship with God based on our level of suffering. Secondly, God suffers with us. My second response is that Jesus reveals that God suffers with us. Jesus is the exact representation of God, all the fullness of God in bodily form. Throughout his life, Jesus showed compassion for people who were in pain, illness, or grief. He wept alongside those who grieved. In his death, he suffered emotional, physical, and spiritual pain. Jesus reveals what's always been true. God does not stand far off, unfeeling and uncaring, any more than we are unaffected by the suffering of our loved ones. In my personal experience, I found my own pain easier to bear than watching loved ones suffer. He suffers with us in his great endeavour to bring into being a world which is both free and brought back into loving relationship with himself. You might argue that it would have been better if there were no true freedom and no suffering. But then there would be no love, because this depends on real freedom. God has determined that the creation of life and the invitation to love is worth his suffering and ours, even as a mother considers the pain of childbirth worthwhile in bringing forth life. Thirdly, suffering will end. God set a limit to our personal suffering and to the suffering of the world. God will bring the current order to an end, bringing all creation under his protective care. He promises he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Part of this process will be coming to understand the causes of suffering and the ways in which God has guarded us, comforted us, and worked all things together for good. It will also include justice for the victims of suffering and mercy for those who come to repentance. For those who continue to refuse to accept God's love, the scriptures are clear that they are free to choose eternity without God. This is not God's desire, but there will be a separation so that suffering ends. This is what it says in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a beautiful bride dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Jesus and the New Testament writers contrast the momentary nature of our sufferings now with the eternity which lies ahead. So suffering will come to an end. So how might we respond? Suffering's not a new issue. It didn't start to present a barrier to faith in 1914, nor did it begin when you personally encountered tragedy. Indeed, one of the oldest books in the Bible, Job, is all about unjust suffering. Job argues with his friends and with God. Sometimes we need to bring out our anger in order for God to bring us comfort. Having encountered God, Job finally responds, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is it that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know.'" Job never gets an answer, but he does come to accept that God knows the answer and it's too wonderful for him to know. God doesn't intend for us to suffer alone. Suffering is an inevitable part of a world with real choices. He suffers with us and he wants us to come to him to find comfort. He will bring suffering to an end. In our response today, I want to ask if your suffering and the suffering of others is limiting your faith. God wants to comfort you. Bring your questions and your anger to him and allow him to speak peace and healing to you. Don't refuse to be comforted. Let's pray. We bring our suffering to you, our Father God. We seek your comfort. Help us to continue to trust in your love and to live lives of love. As we think about the suffering and sacrifice of those who died in two world wars and those who continue to risk their lives to protect us today, we give thanks that suffering is not meaningless. We thank you that in Jesus, we see that you share in our suffering, and through his sacrifice, the way is open for all creation to be reconciled to you and for suffering to finally end. We bring before you those who are suffering today, and we ask for your comfort. We pray, Holy Spirit of God, remove this barrier, that men and women may put their hope and trust in you. Amen.
So it all seems to have gone swimmingly well this morning. I think live services are definitely in. Maybe we should do it more often. From my point of view, it's worked out quite nicely. Whether that's true of Andy and Mike and all the people who are putting it together technically, maybe we'll find out in the coffee room afterwards. But for the purposes of this morning, we'll just bring our service to a close. Father God, I thank you for being with us this morning. I thank you, Lord, for being with us. I pray that you will continue to be with us in the coming week and remind us that you are God and that you suffered and died for us, but you did that because you loved us. Amen. We'll see you in the chat room. I'm not quite sure what happens now.
But, we've got the worship time.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I won't bother closing at the end. I've just closed that then.
Shall I play the songs?
Yes, that would be really good. So that really is the end of the service now. I'm not really quite sure how that happened. I actually wrote out the order of the service myself, so I just wasn't following what I'd written down. But anyway, I think it's probably appropriate to say the grace together. So let's all unmute. I can see let's all unmute. Unmuted. So I'm unmuted. Is everybody unmuted? Just give a nod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. Okay. Not so, everyone is, though.
Trevor isn't.
Sally isn't.
Sally isn't. Ken isn't.
There you go.
We all are now.
Okay, so, all right. May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit,
Be with us all, evermore.
Amen. Amen. We'll see you in the chat room.